It's 12:37. The Midwest is experiencing a blast of Arctic air today. Meanwhile, a developing storm system was to spread snow across southern Missouri into the Ohio River Valley into tomorrow. But areas to the north are expected to remain dry over the next few days. Our forecast this afternoon, mostly sunny and bitterly cold with a high around 10 and a wind out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wind chill readings ranging from 8 below zero to 18 below zero. Tonight, partly cloudy, bitterly cold, a low 7 with the temperature holding steady or slowly rising after midnight. The wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wind chill readings from 3 below to 13 below zero. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and very cold with a high of 15 and a west wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Look for a low of 1 below zero and wind chill readings from 6 below to 16 below zero. Thursday, sunny with a high of 18. Morning wind chill readings will range from 7 below zero to 17 below zero. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 10. The outlook for Friday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 20s. At noon Central Time, skies were partly to mostly sunny across Illinois and Indiana. Temperatures ranged from the single digits to the mid-20s. At O'Hare, 14 degrees. At Mattoon, 7. Carbondale checked in with 24 degrees. At South Bend, 19. Lafayette, 9. Terre Haute, 12. Indianapolis, 16. Willard Airport reported sunny skies at the top of the hour. The temperature, 7. The dew point, 0. The relative humidity, 73%. The wind was out of the northwest at 13, giving us a wind chill of minus 9. And the barometric pressure, 30.40 and falling. At 12:39, 10 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois under sunny skies. An ancient Eastern practice is taking root in the unlikeliest of places, Alabama's highest security prison. Officials say it is transforming hardened criminals. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
William E. Donaldson Correctional Facility outside Birmingham is a tough place where Alabama's most violent and mentally unstable prisoners go, many to stay.
I've been down 30 years, down for capital murder.
Capital murder, got life without parole now. I first got the sentence of death.
Capital murder, life without, done 25 years.
Donaldson has 24 death row cells, and about a third of the approximately 1,500 prisoners are lifers with no chance of parole. The prison is named for an officer killed here in 1990. The lockup has a history of inmate stabbings, deaths, and suicides, and is the target of lawsuits.
Trade hold. Jack off.
In the isolation blocks, food trays are slid through a narrow metal box built into the cell doors so the inmates can't hurt the officer feeding them. That's a sharp contrast from the scene inside the prison gym. About two dozen inmates in white pressed uniforms roam freely, working together to clear bed pads from the concrete floor.
All tape took off the floor, carpets rolled, and then we'll start stacking pillows.
They've just emerged from a 10-day silent Vipassana meditation course.
Vipassana means seeing things as they are.
Johnny Mac Young kneels on a blue mat, resting back on a small wooden stool. This is the position he keeps for up to 10 hours a day during the program.
For the first 3 days, the only thing we do is sit and focus on our breath. This is to steal the mind. This is to get the mind sharp.
Isolated in the gym, the inmates wake up at 4 a.m. and meditate on and off until 9 o'clock in the evening. They eat a strict vegetarian diet. They can't smoke or drink coffee, and there is absolutely no conversation, only an internal examination of how the body is reacting.
You start feeling those stuff moving all around on your body. Some guys can't handle it. Some guys scream.
It's a rude awakening for some prisoners, says Vipassana teacher Carl Franz.
Everyone's mind is kind of Pandora's box, and when you have 33 rather serious convicts facing their past and their own minds, their memories, their regrets, rough childhood, whatever, their crimes. Lots of stuff comes up.
For convicted murderer Johnny Mack Young, that stuff includes his childhood role in the accidental death of his baby sister, the fact he never mourned his mother's death, and his crime, a drug-related murder.
So that's one of the things that tortures me. Now, as you can tell while I'm talking, now it's kind of like breaking me up, right? But we learn this stuff. We learn it too late in life. We learn after we make these mistakes, after we do these things that we shouldn't do.
Now at 61 and likely in the last home he'll know, Young says he just tries to have the highest quality life he can.
It changed my life. Prior to taking the meditation course, I stayed in SEG. I kept trying to escape. I stayed in fights with police, inmates.
That's typical behavior for an inmate with his defenses up, in denial about his crime and blaming others, says Dr. Ron Kavanaugh, treatment director for the Alabama Department of Corrections. Kavanaugh says the meditation practice chips away at those defenses.
They have nobody to talk to. There's nobody confronting them. So there's nobody that they can deny stuff with. There's nobody they can project everything with. And so all these things come up.
Kavanaugh says inmates who go through the course have a 20% reduction in disciplinary action. But it hasn't been an easy sell in Alabama, a state known for harsh punishment policies like chain gangs and hitching posts. The Vipassana technique, though secular, is based on the teachings of Buddha. Soon after it started at Donelson about a decade ago, the prison system's chaplains expressed concern that it might not be in keeping with Christian values, and the state put an end to the program. But Warden Gary Hetzel brought it back after noticing dramatic changes.
I could see a significant decrease in behavioral problems, acting out, and the inmates that participated in those previous Vipassana programs seemed to be much calmer, much at peace.
He's also found they come out ready to help other inmates by volunteering in the prison's hospice unit or leading self-help courses at the prison chapel. Hetzel says he's convinced the program is not religious, and he's encouraged staff members to take a meditation course to dispel misperceptions. Baptist preacher Bill Lindsay is the chaplain at Donelson.
I've been around here almost 30 years. I went to what I call Bush College, out on the pine thicket, praying, and the Holy Ghost being the dean taught me.
He baptizes saved inmates in an old GE refrigerator. Lindsay is still skeptical, but now tries to give Vipassana the benefit of the doubt.
It's kind of strange, something different, but they do a pretty good job on it.
They say it's
I don't
working.
Want to knock it. Yeah, it's working, and that's the main thing. You know, if you just like this program, you can't judge it. But if you just get one, what is a life worth? See, in this business. So if you can just get one, who knows?
To date, 430 inmates have gone through the Vipassana meditation program, the only one of its kind in North America. There's a waiting list for the quarterly sessions at Donelson, and the state wants to expand the offering to its women's prison. Filmmaker Jenny Phillips made a documentary called The Dahma Brothers about the Alabama program and its unlikely marriage of an ancient meditation practice and an end-of-the-line prison.
They seem to clash, they're clashing cultures, and yet when you bring them together, they fit.
60-year-old convicted murderer Grady Bankhead says he's walking evidence of that fit.
Before I went to a Vipassana meditation, this isn't what Grady Bankhead sounded like. I was probably the angriest man in this prison.
Now he's recruiting other inmates to take the difficult course. Bankhead says, quote, "We have to have some kind of balance back in our lives from the horrible things that we've done." Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Advertisers are always looking for a new, more engaged audience. They found one in the online world of social gaming. Advertisers are embedding ads in the games. NPR's Shireen Meraji has more.
If you recognize that tune, you are one of the 97 million Facebook users who play Cityville. It's free to play. You start with an empty plot of land and build a city on it. You invite your Facebook friends to join in the fun and soon find yourself spending time collecting rent, building businesses, growing and harvesting crops.
I am not a player of social games, I have to say. I don't really have any extra time to plant virtual crops or race around Card Town.
That is unless you're busy analyzing the business of social games, which is what Paul Verna does for eMarketer. Verna says social game publishers take in most of their revenue from the sale of virtual goods. Gamers spend real money on virtual crops, fish food, you name it. And between last year and 2012, he adds, in-game ad revenue will more than double.
The types of companies that have advertised in social games run the gamut from fast food and premium packaged food, soft drinks, pet food, apparel, packaged goods, retail, financial services.
Alex Rampell, the CEO of TrialPay, says that list goes on and on because the social game world is so diverse. TrialPay matches advertisers with social game companies. There's Cityville, Farmville, Texas Hold'em Poker, Pet Society, Mafia Wars, Cartown. Rampell says basically anything you want to advertise will work with the theme of a social game that's out there.
Most people can't stand advertising. They want to skip it. Social gaming, by providing more crops or more fish or more virtual poker chips for the poker game, it actually encourages people to interact with advertisers, and they do take notice.
So I'm just going to show you what Farmville looks like by clicking on this button, and we will be transported magically to my farm.
I'm in Mark Zeitlin's office at the Farmers Insurance headquarters in Los Angeles. Farmers is the number three home and auto insurance company in the U.S. It's been around since 1928.
Right. Well, we've got what I would call a kick-ass farm. I've got a couple of fields full of crops right now.
Zeitlin is the vice president of e-business, a department that's about 2 years old. He never played Farmville before deciding it could be a great marketing tool for a very unhip insurance company. Now he's addicted.
And it is hard on a marriage and other relationships, but I was very happy to begin playing it because of the excitement around putting the farmer's airship into the game.
On the upper left of Zeitlin's computer screen is a cartoon version of a Zeppelin airship with the Farmers Insurance logo on it. He negotiated a deal with Zynga, the company that created Farmville, to make the virtual airship available in the game, free, for 10 days. And if you downloaded the Farmers Airship, you got a brief respite from virtual farming.
So we had one story from a grandmother, which I'm not quite sure if it's a happy or a sad story, but she felt really relieved that she had the airship protecting her crops from withering because she was able to spend more time with her grandchildren.
Zeitlin says over 5 million users, like that grandma, downloaded the airship. And in that time, the Farmers Insurance Facebook fan page went from a handful of fans to over 120,000. Real corporate money well spent in the virtual business world. Shireen Meraji, NPR News.
Congress